You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey, it's another big week on RHAP. The Challenge All-Stars 4 just kicked off. Allie and Brian are back and on video for the first time ever. Check out their full coverage of Challenge All-Stars 4. And I thought it was the best episode of Survivor of the season. Episode several. Don't miss all of our podcasts. And can I brag about our patrons on our feedback show? Every week, I talk to the patrons on Friday afternoon. We've had such great strategic, interesting conversations. If you haven't listened in yet, check it out. robisawebsite.com/patron right here on RHAP. We know reality TV.
I was flipping through the channels the other day, but there was nothing good on. I had nothing to play. So I went to my computer and realized that there was so much content before my eyes. But there's nothing but Netflix in my heart and on my screen. There's always something good that I still haven't seen. But maybe one day we can start and watch the rest. So Rob and Chappelle are the best.
Yes! Your Place or Mine, a brand new movie here on Netflix, here to talk about a little rom-com. We haven't done one in a while. And here is the man who always brings the calm. It's Chappelle.
Thank you, Rob, for that introduction. I didn't know I always brought the calm. I thought, like, you know, I got a little rom in me, you know?
Yeah, the calm before the storm. Yeah. Maybe we could hear about your rom side today.
Maybe. I feel like it's about as romantic as this movie is. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, we probably don't have that much to talk about, but at least we have this this thing that we watched, you know?
Okay, but it was but 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, that we were joined by Dame Lindsay Wilson when we talked about mm-hmm. That 90s Show and even got to see Ashton Kutcher on Netflix. But it was just a warm-up act for his return to cinema as he is opposite Reese Witherspoon in Your Place or Mine. Just dropped. We're recording this this weekend here on Netflix. Sure to be one of the hottest Netflix movies this weekend. And I love it when we can get the jump on something here, Chappelle.
Is it going to be one of the hottest movies on Netflix?
You know what? Okay. I don't know, but can I tell you what? I'm so What's happy that? I'm here. I'm so mm-hmm. happy to be talking to you. I'm so happy that this is a movie I'm going to watch once and never again and never podcast again about it. One and done, as God intended.
Yeah, this is your MILF manner, you know, just mm-hmm. in and out. You know,
and we're not going to watch it again tomorrow.
We're not. Definitely not a Groundhog Day situation with this one. I'm good. I think that we watched
a one night stand, as they say.
Yeah. Yeah. That too. And then you could potentially move across the country to get away from this movie. I think it was a movie that we watched. We said we were going to watch what's new, what's up and coming on Netflix. And we did watch exactly that. We watched the new film on Netflix. Mission accomplished. I think we did it, Rob.
I think a lot of people are going to check this out this week. No, it is. We're going to talk this through. I think a lot of people are going to check this out this weekend. Your Place or Mine, the brand new movie that's out this weekend. And let's see. I'm just trying to see if it's in the charts yet. We're recording this. No, not yet. How long does it take?
Rob, this movie's not getting to the charts, man. Let's see. It might max out at 8.
8?
But it's not. 8. Yeah. Okay. I mean, I don't think this is going to be the number one movie on Netflix at any point.
Let's see. Well, a lot of people are watching You on Netflix. You can check out the post-show recap on that. But as far as the other movies on Netflix, other than You People, which you and Tyrone already covered, I don't know if there's a lot of competition in the movie department.
I guess Lyle Lyle Crocodile came out in 2022 and it's somehow managed to find itself at number 2. You People are still hanging out. A Madea movie from roughly 10 years ago, I think, is number 4. Enough with Jennifer Lopez from, 2002 is also...
Yeah, Physical 100 at number 4, the subject of last week's podcast.
Yeah, I mean, but look at the movies. I don't think any of these movies are new.
Yeah, it's Valentine's Day weekend, Chappelle. Your Place or Mine, I think, is going to be go boffo on the Netflix charts.
All right, I'm willing to take that wager. We'll see what happens. I don't trust it. Because honestly, this was a rom-com. There was a lot less rom than com here. And honestly...
Not a ton of com either.
Yeah. Not a lot of com. Yeah, and also, I don't know if this is what I would be sitting down and say, okay, it's Valentine's Day. Let's watch a funny romantic movie. I just don't think this is it. Maybe have we watched Pamela yet?
Anybody know that might be more romantic, you're saying? The Pamela Anderson movie?
We know at least some romance happened in that movie.
Yes. Okay. So Your Place or Mine, I have a review open from the New York Times. The headline, Your Place or Mine review, : try neither.
Ooh. Get a hotel. Get a room.
So we'll give a synopsis of the film for our listeners here today. But I really was struck. This is an unusual movie for me. Specifically, it's a movie with two big stars, Reese Witherspoon and Ashton Kutcher, who are the romantic leads in this film. And Chappelle, I think they're in 3 scenes together.
Yeah, they're
do they hate each other?
On camera together, maybe, right? Maybe like Reese Witherspoon can do no wrong in my eyes. This is a perfect person. So if she's mad at Ashton Kutcher, she wouldn't be the only one. I mean, did you see how they just kind of flew him in for that 90s show? He only had one scene and he was gone too. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, it sounds like the problem is Ashton.
So I don't know if maybe was this like a COVID issue of that they couldn't get them in the same, like, it's like, we have Ashton, we have Reese signed on to this project. Bad news. Like we can't get them scheduled for the same time. Is that how this came to be?
It's very weird because not only are they in a long distance friendship, we're led to believe that this couple of people is super close, right? They wake up in the morning, regardless of who their significant other is, and they're talking to each other throughout the entire morning. But once the movie starts and they are in their respective spots, they don't call each other.
No.
They're missing each other's call. They're barely texting because they're both so caught up in their own lives that we never see this actual friendship that they keep talking about.
Yeah, and I don't know if we're ever going to get the answer to this of like, it's like, okay, well, all right. Reese Witherspoon said she'll give us 5 days. Ashton Kutcher said he'll give us 5 days. Okay, we can do this. She'll be in her own movie. He'll be in his own movie. We'll bookend it with one scene where they meet and one scene where they live happily ever after.
Yeah, except, spoiler, well, maybe not happily ever after, but, you know, but because marriage is hard. But they did have a good life, according to the end credits. I don't know. It looks like the only time they were authentically in the same spot was when they were in the airport. I think all the rest of this could have been yada yada. I think,
well, like the first scene, the scene that is the flashback to 2003.
Yes, of course. Yeah, so 20 years prior to the movie being released, or when it was set, then that is when they were together. And then again, we never see them in the same room. We don't even know if they ever interact again in person after that. We know he leaves not long after that, after, you know, her marriage and she has a baby. But then we don't know if he ever comes back and visits or anything. So it's just like, they just don't seem like that close, honestly.
Yeah. So here's the synopsis of the film. Okay. In 2003, there are two people. Their names are, let me go back, not Ashton and Reese, Debbie and Peter. If you gave me 500 guesses, I would not have come up with Debbie is the name of Reese Witherspoon's character. Okay. Debbie and Peter were hanging out in 2003. They hooked up. Okay. They hooked up at a poker game. Poker? Yeah. I hardly know her. That's not what Peter said.
No, he knew her in a biblical sense that day. I think that the thing that we have to notice from 2003 is that when they give us our flashback, Rob, it's been 20 years since this is that time. I know in our minds, 2003 was just a few days ago, but they had to remind us about the wallet chains.
This was the best scene in the movie.
Layers and layers of clothes. It really was. It was very nostalgic. I feel like, oh, okay, yeah, I remember those things. I remember 2003 vividly. And then we never have another moment like that. The rest of the film is just kind of like straightforward.
And so, okay, this is how they met. And then we sort of like leave it at that of, okay, they got together. I'm like, okay, and then the next scene, they're calling each other on the phone. And it's, is it Ashton Kutcher's birthday?
Yeah. So eventually he has his birthday or whatever. He's got a girlfriend kind of.
Well, there's a lot of the movie that takes place in split screen. It's not unlike Chappelle and I. Here we are on Zoom. This is the romantic comedy. Hey, Chappelle, how are you? Like, this would be a movie. Could this be a movie?
I guess it could. It feels like we're right next to each other, but then we're so far apart. Rob, this is you people, you know?
Yeah.
We get to have a podcast movie. I don't know. The split screen was fun the first couple times they did it because you're like, oh, are they together? Oh, they're far apart.
Well, they made it seem like that they were like calling each other and then they were like, or they made it seem like what, they were both in bed together kind of.
Yeah.
And then we like pull back and it's like, oh, actually, Ashton Kutcher has a different woman in his bed. And like, okay, what's going on here? Because you don't know, like they hooked up. You don't know. Are they married? Are they divorced at this point? He's in bed with another woman and she's cool with it. I'm like, okay, what kind of, is this like an open marriage?
Right. Well, for a second, it looked like it was all the same bed. So I was like, oh, a throuple. You know, we love that.
That's cool.
We support that kind of stuff. Yeah. I mean, and then all of a sudden, it separates and they're in separate beds. But then I'm like, well, Ashton Kutcher, if you're laying next to this beautiful lady, why are you on the phone with Reese Witherspoon? Are y'all like, what's happening here? Turns out they're just really good friends who talk to each other early in the morning, despite who's laying next to them.
Just good friends. Okay. Now, all right, Chappelle, this movie raises a lot of questions about relationships. Okay. Do you have any friends who were former romantic interests that now you have developed a deep friendship with? This is
no.
We're getting real today.
Yeah, I was trying to think of, you said deep friendship, and that automatically just nixes all of this. Mm-hmm. You're lucky I don't block you. You know, and I normally block these people, so like I wouldn't have done this. But for some reason, their one night stand led to a 20 year friendship, including most of the friendship being long distance. So I don't know what happened in that one night stand, but they really bonded for him to, you know, decide to up and leave very quickly afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
Like he dipped out.
Well, yeah, we did get a little bit of the backstory later on in the movie about what was going on with like why it didn't work out between them.
Yeah. I mean, the short version of that is that they basically tell us like, okay, they hooked up that one time, but they both kind of fell in love with each other in that same exact moment. Like they had their moment and they was like, oh, this is very intense. And whereas she was probably looking to make something happen, he ran from it. He was like, no, I'm a horrible person. I'm not worthy of love. And so she's like, oh, okay, cool. Well, that's fine. She goes off, dates somebody. She meets somebody. I mean, you know, he sees them together. He wants to kind of break it up and be like, I like you, but he doesn't have it in him. Next time he sees her, she's with child. He's like, oh, it's too late. But at this point, he can't be around her. He's like, oh, it just hurts too much to see you happy with someone else. So he leaves and flies across the country. That's the short version.
Yes. Okay. So I'm just trying to think, like, I do not have a relationship like this in my life that is a former romantic interest that is now a friend. If things did not, of course, many listeners know the first lady of podcasting, my wife, Nicole, the great love of my life, Chappelle. Mm-hmm. I would say that I think if we split up, I do not think we would be friends.
You don't? No, I think y'all have like a quantum entanglement. You
quantum
know, like
I think I could do this. Like, I think I could be like cordial. I'm just saying, I don't think that my wife would be that.
Oh, yeah. She had a good hate into you, huh?
I mean, look, in the best of times now, Chappelle. Yeah. You know. I think if we split up, like, I don't think that we would be friends.
I am friendly with people that I have been with romantically. But
I could do it. I think I could do it.
I struggle. I'm not gonna lie. I'm more in the Nicole camp here, where I'm kind of like, I kind of have to disavow everything about you in order to kind of keep that separate. Mm-hmm. I kind of hate your guts. One of my most notable exes, she and I, we didn't like each other prior to us getting together, and then somehow that managed to happen. And people were like, oh, it's like opposites attract. No, we really should not have been anywhere near each other. And now she's blocked on like 4 different social media accounts, my phone. Yeah. I think I made Sasha block her too, you know, just off the GP. You know, it's just kind of like everybody has to block her. And so it's really hard for me to keep those things separately. I kind of have to get a good hate into you too.
Yeah,
so
I like this, that, you know, we're like, the movie, Your Place or Mine is fine, but you know, really, we're here to learn about you, Chappelle.
Let's talk about it. Yeah.
I mean, like, this movie's gonna be forgettable, but we're gonna remember all your stories,
all my blocked exes. I mean, like, there are so many that are blocked, it's really embarrassing. But it's okay. Like, sometimes you just gotta
Do all your exes live in Texas?
No.
Okay.
No, they don't. One is left. But the rest of them should be, again, they're blocked, so I have no clue, honestly.
You don't know.
They could be anywhere. I don't know. You know, they started
if
off.
If any of Chappelle's exes are listening, we don't want to hear from you. Yeah.
Yeah, no, stay away. Stay far, far away.
Yeah. Or reveal yourself so that Nothing But Netflix Twitter account can block you also.
Oh, please and thank you. And the out of context account. Mm-hmm.
Green, and let me, I'll block whoever you tell me to also.
Yes. I'll go block my exes. Let's do it.
Yeah. And so now, Reese Witherspoon and Ashton Kutcher, that they've maintained like this incredibly close relationship, even though they hooked up this one time, but she went on to go and end up married to somebody else. I think he mentions later in the movie that he was in rehab, I think multiple times.
Yeah, he stopped drinking. We kind of get that like sprinkled throughout the film, because at some point he's like trying to drown his sorrows in sparkling water. And so he went to rehab. She went and picked him up. But this last time when she went and picked him up, she was with child. And that was just too much for him. He's like, I'm going to spiral back into alcoholism if I don't get away from you.
Yeah. And so she ends up having a child with another man, with the kid is 13 in the movie. They met in Los Angeles. Ashton Kutcher, it's a big plot point in the movie, left California. Nobody really knows why. Ashton Kutcher claims to say it's because he is afraid of earthquakes. And everybody's like, yeah, but not really.
Right, like, grow up. I mean, yeah, because every place has their thing. There's no place.
There was an earthquake in Buffalo last week.
Right. There's no place in the United States where you can't get into some natural disaster. I mean, some are better than others. I will say I personally, I'm around tornado area. Give me a tornado over a hurricane anytime. I've had them both, and I'm leaning toward tornado. Mm-hmm. If I could avoid ever being an earthquake, right, I'd love that.
But you know, you can't play that game. It's like, okay, well, all right. I don't want to be near the earthquakes. I don't want to be near the tornadoes. I don't want to be near big city targets for the bad guys. Okay, I got it. I'll move to Montana. Like, oh, what's that? Chinese spy balloon. You know, you can't get away from it.
Exactly. Yeah. You can't get far from all of this drama. And so to think that he flew across the country to avoid a natural disaster. It's just not very believable. Mm-hmm. And like, as we kind of highlighted already, it's because he probably has feelings for his homie that he's been talking to so much.
Yeah. Well, that's going to, you know, come up later on. Although I feel like later on in the film, he says, no, I really am afraid of earthquakes.
Yeah, he doubles down. But I mean, two things can be true at once. You know, you could be afraid of earthquakes and also afraid of watching your best friend that you're in love with raise a child with mm-hmm. somebody else.
Okay. So we see that they are living these two different lives. Reese Witherspoon on the West Coast in California. She's raising her son, she plays it safe. Ashton Kutcher, he's living beautiful apartment overlooking. Is that the Brooklyn Bridge?
Yeah, the Manhattan Bridge. It's hard to know. They make random quotes throughout the mm-hmm. film about bridges in New York. You know, I thought this was your area.
Not the city that probably a lot of people. He has an apartment or would you say this is like a townhouse?
Like a little condo or something.
I think the rent here is like, $4 million a month to live here. But it's beautiful.
Yeah. And they valet your garbage, right? You just like put it on the little outside of the door and they just take it down, you know, the very fancy things in life. But for him to be such a like, oh, he lives on the wild side. He's an adventurer. So this very like straight laced apartment with his books color coordinated and all kinds of stuff. Like, he doesn't seem that fun.
He wasn't very adventurous. That it seemed like that he did like have a lot of hookups. That seemed a little adventurous.
I mean, it is a wild game to play. I'm not gonna lie to you on that one. It seems kind of reckless. But
dating a lot of younger women.
Yeah, that too. He's making sure that he's on the DiCaprio,
which is ironic because he's also been on the opposite side of that.
That's why he sees the value in it. You mm-hmm. know, he's lived both of those lives. Seeing him kind of be the reckless rolling stone that collects no moss, it's just like, it just seems like a guy who's afraid of commitment.
The movie itself is a love letter to the music library of The Cars. Chappelle, did you have any familiarity with the music of The Cars?
Yeah, I know The Cars. I didn't know all of these songs were The Cars.
You told me before we came on this podcast that you hate Cars.
I hate my car currently because it refuses to work. But The Cars, the group, I was just like, oh, okay. You know, like I know of them. I've heard their songs before on commercials. So this felt about right. Mm-hmm. But I didn't know they were going to dedicate pretty much the entire soundtrack to The Cars. That was odd.
Yeah, it seems like a weird sort of overlap, and it is mentioned in the plot of the film, but I think that all of the music in this film is music from the band The Cars.
I think it's like one or two songs that wasn't The Cars, but I think every time he's in his actual vehicle listening to music, it's always The Cars, mm-hmm. and his ringtone is The Cars too, because we find out that his dad was really into The Cars. And so like for years, he couldn't listen to him because his dad passed away. And so now he's come back to his love for The Cars and he listens to him to remember his dad. So that's the only thing he listens to in his car. Now, I think the soundtrack of the movie actually had some other stuff in it, but far be it for me to remember to an hour and a half ago when I watched mm-hmm. this.
So, all right. So that's Ashton Kutcher. He dates younger women. He's into The Cars and he talks to Reese Witherspoon on FaceTime multiple times a day. He is an advertising executive that he's kind of like a marketing brand specialist. He's good at his job. He tries to break up with some guys who are working with him and it's not going well. They don't want to break up with him.
No, they don't. And it's ironic because that's the same day that he's also getting broken up with by his girlfriend who, you know,
but he doesn't care.
He doesn't really care. She's kind of just like, it's been 6 months. What are we doing? And he's like, if you kind of like, as he says it in his head, he's probably thinking, wow, it's been 6 months, dear guy. I got to break this off. And so he lets it end. And then he goes and gives the same speech to those clients. He's like, hey, it's been 6 months. I don't think we're working out here. So mm-hmm. I, like I said, I kind of have the suspicion that he's just not good with commitment.
Yeah.
Yeah, he doesn't like to attach to things too much.
He hates mementos. It's his least favorite kind of mementos.
It's not my least favorite kind of mementos, but it's like bottom two. Yeah, I relate to a lot of his energy in this. I also don't like to attach to things too much. I like to kind of be on the go myself. So yeah, I can see where he's coming from in parts of this.
Meanwhile, Reese Witherspoon, Debbie, she has a 13-year-old son, Jack. She is a very overprotective mom. I kind of thought the movie was going in the direction of that. She has like a lot of like notes on things that Jack has this nut allergy. This is like, he can't have this. He can't have this. He can't have this. He can't have this. And I think that I really thought, Chappelle, the movie was going down a path to say that actually he doesn't have these allergies. And spending time with Jack was going to basically prove that his allergies are fake or not, are imagined. And I was like, I don't think they should do this. I think that's a bad message. I don't think they should say people's allergies are imaginary. And they didn't. But I could have seen a world where they were kind of trying to say that.
It did sound like it because it was so heavy on it, right? It was just a lot of like, oh, he can't have this. Make sure he doesn't eat this. And it sounds like, okay, the allergies are going to be a big plot line in this film. They're not at all.
Yeah.
He doesn't have an allergic reaction to anything. And I mean, he does venture away from his strictly planned diet while he's away from his mom. And so I thought there was a potential for something like that to happen. Turns out he's actually allergic to hockey. Who would have thought?
Yeah, because in the book, okay, so that Ashton Kutcher's character is a writer who then never writes his book, or so Debbie ends up imagining. She finds out later that he does. In his book, the manuscript, The Boy, based on the real life incidents of, you know, Peter's dad's, you know, tragic life, that the boy in the story develops an allergy to touch, and that when he is touched in the story, that he has an allergic reaction to a thing which is not real. I felt like that's where, like, okay, this is getting a little heavy handed of that we're going to eventually say that the mom, Reese, is just being overprotective. He doesn't actually have all these allergies.
Right, right. It did feel like it was going that way. But now that you say it out loud, I kind of think that Ashton Kutcher was just taking all of this inspiration for this book from his best friend, Debbie, who he's obsessed with. You know, she's telling him.
Oh, you think that this was borrowed from her, from the real life? It's wow, Chappelle.
Yeah. I mean, his best friend's always like,
mind.
My son's allergic to this. My son's allergic to that.
My son has
your son's
allergies.
Allergic to everything. Right. Your son's all allergic to everything. Wouldn't it be weird if I put that into a novel?
If I stole your life and turned it into my book
and never told you about it.
That's why he can't tell her. Because he's
why
ripping her off.
Yeah. I mean, and she didn't even put two and two together. Like, she's like, oh my God, it's about a 13-year-old boy who has allergies. That just hits so close to home because I have a 13-year-old. Like, yes, dummy, he's robbing you blind.
See, that's that's why I have to watch this movie again, and we should podcast about it again tomorrow. Let's call
podcast
it
about it.
Your Place or Mine Week.
Yes. No, month, year.
Your Place
why don't we do
or
this for
Month.
The whole year?
Yeah.
Listen, we'll do it scene by scene. We'll do a commentary to shake it up. You know, every day, though, we don't have to do the same thing every day. Yeah, we can just do commentary one of the days.
When it hits number one on Netflix, that's when we should do the commentary.
If it hit number five, I'd be down. I just don't see it happening.
Should that be what this podcast is? It's like, hey, you got Netflix, you got us, hit play. We're going to just like do the commentary.
This is going to vamp. Yeah, that wouldn't be a horrible
idea. I don't think it's the worst idea for, especially like when it's a movie.
Yeah,
and then
people love director's commentary.
Yeah, because either you already watched the movie and now here's our podcast, which is like over the commentary, like over the movie, or it's like watch it for the first time with Robin Chappelle.
Hey, that might be like a segment we need to do. Maybe like once a month or so, we do one of those. So it's just a commentary.
Look, we're reinventing the medium.
Spice it up. We've been doing this for 2 years now. You know, we gotta keep it fresh. Spin a wheel next time, you know?
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Chappelle, there's another character in the movie that's supporting actor, actress, on the other coasts. Eventually, when we split them up, the plot of the movie is Reese Witherspoon is going to come to New York. Ashton Kutcher is going to go to California. Tig Notaro ends up being a longtime friend of both of them. Do you know what was the relationship of Tig Notaro to these two?
Longtime friend and poker buddy. You know, from all we can tell is that Tig Notaro has been around for a very long time.
Friends with both of them.
Yeah, mutual of both of them, and very funny, of course. Mm-hmm. But kind of like just, I don't know, like the one constant throughout the film is that each of them is going to lean on Tig Notaro at different points. Her name is Alicia in the movie. Mm-hmm. I got very excited because I only know who Tig Notaro is because of Lindsay Wilson, the Dame Lindsay Wilson herself. Mm-hmm. But she's a big Tig Notaro fan. So I was like, I know her.
Yeah.
But yeah, but this was fun seeing Tig Notaro in this role, especially because we needed somebody to kind of make sense because the rest of them were not.
Yes. Did Tig Notaro know the entire time that Ashton Kutcher and Reese Witherspoon were in love with each other?
If she did, she didn't say anything. You know,
Should she say something? Like if you have two mutuals and they're like madly in love with each other for like 20 years and it's obvious, should you say something?
I think you should, especially once they're both single. Like once they're both single, you should just blurt it out.
It would be so annoying, I think, to not say something where they're like, oh, did you hear what Peter is up to? Like, oh my God. Yeah, you're in love with him. Duh.
Please. Go marry him and leave us alone. Yeah, you know. Yeah, I bet that's very annoying, especially because all you hear is like the he said, she said from them all day about each other. You probably just want to sit them both down and just say, listen, even if it doesn't work out, y'all got to try it so you can leave me alone. Yep. Go try this thing one time. And then if it doesn't work, it's fine. Go back to being friends for the next 20 years. But leave me out of this.
Okay. So, Chappelle, Reese Witherspoon needs to go to New York to do something. Like, I don't know. I don't really even understand what she was doing. This is like the recurring dream that I have where I have to go back to Oswego, New York and go and take like a class and because I didn't really graduate college and I need to go and like enroll back in school and go sign up. Like why did she have to go to New York for like a short amount of time to go to college?
It sounded like she was finishing up a course that you can probably do probably mostly online, but you have to go take like maybe a class or something like that in public, like in person. And so she's like a really like literature minded person, right? She's a book person. She likes to read, but she really wants a practical degree, a degree that can actually make her some money. And so she's trying to go back and get, it looks like accounting that she's trying to do. But she really needs to be in person to take this final exam and these last couple classes. Yeah,
she's getting a degree that will advance her career, apparently.
Yeah. And remember, she wants to get a degree that will get her some money, you know, because these literature degrees, they don't do a lot. Trust me.
Yes. Is that what your degree is in?
My bachelor's degree is in communication, but it was a double major in English. And so, yeah. I did more with a minor in social work than I've done with either of those degrees.
Do you have a manuscript sitting at your house, a book that one day you will publish?
No, but if you ever need a place to stay in Texas, you just come. I'll give you the keys and you just whatever you do, don't look in my oven because that's definitely not where I would keep my manuscript if I had one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Would you ever consider writing a book? Is that something? Are you a writer like that? Because I don't think I could do it.
I will. I could not write a book like a fiction book. I could not. I couldn't write a book about me. Like if you gave me some research or something like that and you needed me to do like a dissertation or something that's kind of like a book, I could definitely do that, but not.
What if you had a ghostwriter? Somebody that would like follow you around and like you know, maybe you'd have like a beer and sit down with this person and they would just be like, oh, here's another story.
I mean, not to bring up the dame Lindsay Wilson again, but I mean, she's
offered to do it.
No, but she's the mind behind the Sleepover podcast, you know, and if she could do the oral history of that, I could just imagine, like, if I told her some stories, what she could put together about me. I think if Lindsay signs on, we can get this book created.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that would be a hit.
I don't think so. I'm not that entertaining. I promise I'm not. Mm-hmm. It's like there's not a lot going on in my life, Rob. Nobody wants to read about it.
Okay. All right. Think about it.
We can come. How about we double team this? Is you and I? We do like a Your Place or Mine book, and you, know, place you tell or mine? Your story okay. and my story, and then we talk about how we converge in 2020. You mm-hmm. know?
Yeah. Okay.
This is good.
Boy, this is like this is going to be very deep. I think.
It'll be fun. Yeah, Rob, I've known you my whole life, and you've only known me like 3 years, so wow. We got a lot to talk about.
Wow, two stories, and then we converge, and we both had a shared love of reality TV, and we have very different backgrounds, and now we're great friends. Like, I don't know.
A podcast. This is a Netflix film.
This is something.
Yeah, it's something.
This is not nothing.
It's not nothing but Netflix. You know? it's something. It'll get there eventually. I'm telling you, we have a seed to work with. Mm-hmm. Let's just see what happens. Let's ask the listeners. What do y'all think Rob and I should talk about in our joint novel?
In our audiobook.
Yes. Oh, see, now it's an audiobook. Do we narrate our own audiobook?
I think we got to, right?
Yeah, you're right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, we got something here.
All right.
I like it.
So, all right. We see Reese Witherspoon, that she needs to come to New York. Ashton Kutcher says, you've done so much for me. Come stay at my place. I'll go to your place and I'll babysit. Is it a babysitting if it's a teenager?
It's babysitting.
Yeah.
It is babysitting.
I will go. I'll watch your kid. She's like, you don't know how to do watch a kid. Like he's allergic to blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, he's allergic to the basketball gym and the football field, the soccer mm-hmm. field as well. Like
he's allergic to grass. Both of those things.
Yeah, I mean, I have a grass allergy as well. Mm-hmm. Not all grasses, but certain pollens get me shook up a little bit.
Yeah.
But he has a lot of restrictions, and so she doesn't really trust that Ashton Kutcher's character is going to be able to handle that. But she does give in. You know, she's in such a big moment of her life where she can really go and get this degree, and it could be something good for her and her son. So she takes him up on his offer.
Okay. All right. So they're basically going to, even though they were split screen apart, flip it around. Now they're split screen the other way, where Ashton Kutcher is going to be watching Jack. And as a babysitter, I mean, he comes in and basically is going to, let things be a little bit more loosey-goosey around here, to which I think Jack responds positively.
Yeah, Jack's ready. He's ready to shake things up, because if it was up to Reese Witherspoon's character, she would have him living in a bubble. And so now he has a little bit of freedom. He can eat things that are not casseroles that are pre-prepared and sitting in the freezer. He can stay up a little bit later.
Are you even a casserole watch guy, movies. Chappelle?
Depends on the casserole. I'm not like I really have a casserole.
Had a casserole.
What? You gotta get you a casserole. Yeah. You have been to, I complain about restaurants a lot. Have you ever been to Cheddar's?
No.
It's like a Chili's type place. Anyway, they have a good broccoli rice and cheese casserole. Mm-hmm. It's so good. Oh my God. It's that, like, you could just eat that by the pan. You don't need to eat all the rest of the crap that they have there. But yeah, I like a good casserole. It just depends on the casserole. It's not the fact that it's a casserole that attracts me. It's the what's inside the casserole, you know?
Did we watch something recently that they had casseroles?
I don't know.
I did podcast about something where they were bringing a lot of casseroles over to the house.
I don't know. I oh, like, was that
Yes.
Was that the movie we did with Josh and Emily? Was it the scary movie with the house?
I'm not sure. but it doesn't feel like a very 2023 mom thing to do is make a bunch of casseroles. That seems like very old timey.
No, I think that's just a single mom move. My mom, she, when I was younger, she would either because you have to make something that you can basically just eat off of all day. So you don't constantly find yourself cooking for two people. Mm-hmm. So you just make a big amount of whatever it is. And then you just graze as the day goes on. My mom used to do like crock pot meals, you know.
Yeah, she would, I feel like Instapot might be more 2023 than frozen casseroles, but whatever.
Yeah. But she doesn't trust her kids. So she she doesn't trust as a grown ass man. So she couldn't leave anything to chance.
So Ashton Kutcher is sort of feeling his way around, being a stepdad to Jack. He's going to drop him off at school. He gets involved in Jack has there's two other kids that don't really want to hang out with him. Ashton Kutcher has some plans to win these kids over. He is going to take Jack. And these other gets Jack to bribe these other kids to take them to a luxury box for the Kings game.
It's not bribing, Rob. It's incentivizing. Incentivization, we're going to rebrand all of this. Yeah. So he does with a global realignment on Jack, because this is his skill, right? He's a businessman who's good at this kind of thing. But what he finds out very quickly is that even bribing these children to make them go to the games with him and have these amazing seats and all these snacks, still not going to make them like Jack himself. And so he makes a mistake. It is a step in the wrong direction, because now Jack sees that there's no amount of money that this is going to get these kids to actually play with him. And it's kind of hurt to watch, because, you know, he was trying his best, but I mean, that Jack guy, he must suck. I'm joking. He seems like a nice kid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, he didn't seem that awesome.
He seemed fine.
Fine. He's fine.
He was there.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard. You know, these other two kids are really hitting it off. You're like, now you got third wheel Jack.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it happens. I think that's what it is. It's like they weren't vibing, and that's okay. Everybody does not have to be friends. It just wasn't working out for them. It comes to find out that they used to be friends, but now Jack is smaller than them and he can't really play hockey with them anymore. So they bonded over being hockey, teammates, whereas he's kind of the odd man out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know how all the kids in LA like to do play hockey.
It's really his first and only love. You know, he grew up, you know, watching the old hockey matches.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there's a more interesting part of the life that Debbie leads in California. Okay. Debbie, I don't know. She lives all this, she lives in, I guess it was LA. They went to a Kings game, but she kind of lives on some street that's at a 45 degree angle. I don't know if she lives in the Hollywood Hills or what, but she has a neighbor named Zen. Zen is played by Steve Zahn, who many of our listeners probably recognize from White Lotus season one, among many other things.
Yeah. What is your first memory of Steve Zahn as an actor?
Well, I know him best from The White Lotus. I feel like it's hard to separate him from that. But I recently watched him in 8-Bit Christmas. What do you know him best from?
I remember him in one of the only Paul Walker films I've ever seen, Joyride, from 2001. Every time I see him, I think, oh, that's the guy from Joyride. Even when I was watching The White Lotus, it was hard for me to separate the two.
Yeah.
But I haven't seen anything else that he's been in between 2001's Joyride and The White Lotus.
He easily has 50 acting credits. He is a real that guy. He's in a bunch of different stuff. And so he plays a neighbor who is a gardener. He's always working in the garden, and he's kind of in various states of undress. Chappelle, would you say, is that fair to say?
Yeah. He's half naked all the time out there in Reese's garden specifically, because he has his own garden, but he pays a gardener to do that kind of work. He really likes to focus on, you know, making sure that her garden specifically is tended to, and also that she can see him in various states of undress while he does it.
Okay. So there's a point where Ashton Kutcher's character, Peter, has a real like mano a mano talk with Steve Zahn, his character Zen. Mm-hmm. And they talk about the like relationship with Debbie. And Zen, you know, that he basically says like, oh, he can like he understands what it's like for Peter because he is in love with Debbie.
Yeah, he says that they're like hookups.
Well, and he also says that he feels like, and his plan is that if he's just is around all the time and is friends with her, eventually she's going to see him as something more, which ironically is exactly Ashton Kutcher's plan.
Pretty much.
Yeah. This movie should be called Friendzone.
I think we cover that already too. I mean, these Netflix movies, dear God. This is weird because you have two people who are both looking at each other and kind of sizing each other up as the potential other guy. And we're led to believe that Peter would have a better chance at this because Zen has been in this woman's front yard and she doesn't really pay any attention to him romantically.
We don't know about the backyard.
We don't know about that, but we do know that there have been some benefits to this friendship, at least from Zen's
This is what I want to ask you, Chappelle, that Steve Zahn's character, Zen, says, in the meantime, you know, we just continue, we'll be friends with benefits.
Mm-hmm.
Was he lying or has Steve Zahn's character, Zen, had a physical relationship with Reese Witherspoon's character, Debbie?
This is hard because it did feel like he was lying, but we also have no reason to believe that he's lying. Like, it's not like we get Debbie saying, like, absolutely not. In no world would I ever sleep with Zen. They're both, you know, adults. They can, mm-hmm. But I mean, maybe her benefit is that he tends to her garden.
I don't know.
In the front yard.
Yeah. I guess that they felt like, okay, well, we made it like that Ashton Kutcher, like he's like been with a lot of other women. So you got to throw her a bone.
I mean, you do kind of like, it's like it seemed like she's like some old spinster just sitting at home. Just like, oh my God, just worry about my child. Like she can have sex too.
Well, we'll talk about that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. We're going to get to Dr. Jackson Avery in just a moment. But yeah, she seems like she has friends on the West Coast that she does, you know, from time to time benefit
mm-hmm.
from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
It happens.
Yeah. Let's talk about what's going on over on the East Coast, because there's more of the action going on the East Coast. I think that if we were going to like do like a percentage or like cut the pie, I think we probably spend 60% of our time with Debbie, maybe 40% of the time with Peter.
It's not a huge difference. I think it's like with Debbie,
she has more going on.
Yeah, she has a lot going on, whereas he's got to deal with Jack. Yeah.
With Jack.
And only Jack.
Okay. Mm. So Reese Witherspoon, she's hanging out at the house that Ashton Kutcher has. She has a lot of problems with the internet-enabled assistants. She's not so good with the Alexa over at the house.
No, she's not. And I don't blame her. I don't know how to use mine at all. And I really should get rid of it, honestly. But she's trying to get it to, she can't get it to close the blinds. She can't get the lights to turn on in different situations. And she's struggling to where all she can manage to do is just blast music. Because anytime mm-hmm. you're trying to do something and not draw a lot of attention to yourself, that's always going to happen. But right as she's blasting music, in walks Ashton Kutcher's ex, Minka, who we saw them break up because it had been 6 months and it was going nowhere. But she's back and she's not wearing any clothes because she's trying to get him back. Or at least for the night.
Now, this was the same woman as earlier in the film. I thought this was a different woman who noticed that she was friends with the woman he broke up with on Instagram and noticed the signs that she had broken up with Ashton Kutcher. So this was a different ex that showed up.
Yeah, this is the ex before that one that we saw him break up with at the beginning. And then this one doubled back once she saw that the coast was clear. Yeah, it's okay.
A lot going on here. Okay.
Yeah.
So this woman shows up and this appeared to be what used to, I don't know if it's still called this, a booty call, but without the call, it's just a pop in.
Without the call.
Yeah. What is this called, Chappelle?
It's very tacky in what it is. You don't just pop up at somebody's house with a trench coat on.
Does this have
on.
A this name? Yeah.
I don't know about that. I don't think it has a name.
Doesn't have a name.
Yeah, it's just you got a text or knock or you call, or something like
she
that.
She just showed up like this, and she's wearing like a jumpsuit, and she reveals to Reese Witherspoon, like, "I'm not wearing anything under this."
Right, and then at which point you used to say, "Okay, but you should leave because you know he's not here, and also you're not wearing anything under your clothes." But Reese Witherspoon just invites her on in because this woman seems to know how to
she's
work.
She's going
the
commando.
She is, and she knows how to command the Alexa because somebody needs to.
She knows how to
turn it directly off. Yeah, which is weird because nobody else would know. And so you know this woman spent a lot of time in this house.
Yes, and she really does hit it off with Reese Witherspoon. She doesn't look at her as, okay, this is a rival vying for the attention of Ashton Kutcher. I guess maybe because she's a millennial, like this is just like, you know, a cool thing. They're like, okay, this is no big deal.
Yeah, she's like, things happen. You know, it's not. Listen, these people are on two different coasts. There's nothing really for her to worry about. Everything that Debbie says about Peter is that there's nothing there. They're just friends. You know, they don't really. She doesn't really know a lot about them. You know, because that's another like through line through this story is that Peter and Debbie both say we tell each other everything. And they don't know anything about each other. Like every time somebody walks in the room, they're like, it's weird that they didn't mention that to you considering y'all talk so much. And so I think based on the fact that Debbie doesn't know a lot about Peter's life, she doesn't really feel threatened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so we end up seeing, so they have like a fast friendship. And she says, hey, tomorrow night, let's go out for drinks. Let me take you out into Manhattan. And so... they hit it off. And now here we go. We're out seeing the nightlife. And so Reese Witherspoon, she hasn't been out in probably like 20 years.
Mm-hmm. And she's finally getting out. She's in a new city. She doesn't have to focus on her kid who's potentially in danger because mm-hmm. of all of his allergies.
Yeah.
She's just having a good time. And I like this for her. You know, she's relaxing a little bit. Her son's relaxing. The only person who's really not relaxing is Peter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and she had gone to school, and she's like seen some like hot professors at her school, and so when they go out to the club, they end up seeing like a hot professor with a friend, and so they go off and they hit it off, and then the younger woman hits it off with the hot professor, and then she ends up talking to this guy who's like a book publisher.
Yeah, so the professor, of course, is not Reese Witherspoon's character, or Debbie, I guess. It's not Debbie's professor. She just catches him talking about books. And, you know, she loves books. So she's like, oh, my God, like, oh, this guy knows books and he's black, you know. And so then in the future, she sees them at the out to drink. And she's like, oh, that professor guy that likes books, he knows Jackson Avery from Grey's Anatomy. That's crazy. And everyone's like, yeah, that guy's hot. You should go talk to him. We should go talk to them together. And while she's trying to talk to her professor, and Minka is trying to talk to Jackson Avery. It gets caught up in conversation that she has now read this manuscript that she found in Peter's home. And yeah. Now that she has this manuscript, she's talking to a publisher, and she can really make this book thing happen yeah. now for Peter.
So I don't think she knew at this point, when the point she started talking to him, I don't think she knew about Peter's book yet.
Mm-hmm.
But what was the guy's name with the book publisher guy? Do you have that? I don't mean
that's
to put
probably
you on the
in my
spot.
Notes is Jackson Avery.
Jackson Avery. Okay.
Yeah.
Jackson
Avery.
The IMDb for this film, yeah, is very incomplete. Okay. Here we go. Jesse Williams is the actor's name. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So
and his name is Theo Martin in the film.
Yeah. And is he like a writer? Because she seems to like know like all these books that he's written.
He's a publisher, and so she knows all the books attached.
All the
to
books
his, like,
he published.
Yeah, yeah, okay. She's read them all. He's yeah. like, what?
She loves books.
Because he knows the sales. Yeah, and he loves books. He's a publisher, and you know. So between the two of them, they kind of bond over, oh my God, you know books? I know books. I love books. Me too. You're very mm-hmm. pretty. But don't you love books? He's like very much shooting his shot at her, and she's kind of like, yeah, but books though. Mm-hmm. She's not really catching on that, you know, Jesse Williams is staring at her with those like, you know, criminally beautiful eyes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, but they're gonna go on some more dates, and they're mm-hmm. gonna you know kind of like hit it off. At some point, then when we see Minka, this is the young woman's name, that she basically is going to talk about how, like, oh, I know you like books. Yeah, Peter wrote a book. And Reese Witherspoon's like, hey, he didn't write a book. What are you talking about? Right. He doesn't write a book. She's like, yeah, he wrote a book and he keeps it in the oven. Chappelle, wouldn't the oven be the worst place to keep the one copy of your manuscript?
Well, in most people's lives, he's like, yes, keep it far away from something that is, you know, going to catch flame or, you know, or be hot enough to destroy your book. But this is Peter. He knows ain't nobody using that oven at all. So he ain't got to worry about it. If you want to hide something from somebody in Peter's house, the oven is the perfect place to put it. No one's ever going to touch it.
You know, I got burned, no pun intended, by this a couple of times.
You kept your novel in the oven?
No. But my kids made like a gingerbread house. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, well, I don't want to get ants. So I'll put this in the oven. Because then... And this was when we were in California, so it was not like it wouldn't be crazy for, you know, ants to come into your house and it wasn't that like super cold out. And I said, okay, I'm gonna put the gingerbread house in the oven. And then my wife turns on the oven without looking to see what's inside. And then the gingerbread house was destroyed.
Ouch.
Yeah.
That sucks.
Yeah. What are you going to do?
It happens. You take it out the oven next time, you know. It's all good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This oven is a perfect hiding spot for books, apparently, in Ashton Kutcher's home. Except for everybody knows the book is there. You know, Minka knows exactly where it is. She said she tried to make keto brownies one time and opened it and saw a book.
Yeah. You know Netflix, that they are always up for their cheap, cheap shots on keto, zucchini, anything like no carb. They're here for it.
Yeah.
Every Netflix movie has to have at least one shot.
I like that. I appreciate that for Netflix. It's one of the few things I appreciate from Netflix. If you're listening
to
Netflix.
Unites us all. Right.
Yeah. That's the one thing we can agree on because you've been tripping lately.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Anyway, we got to see that she's like, oh, wait, let me read this book. Okay. And she reads it. She's like, okay, this is incredible. And then so she's going to try to get the book published and try to get it to Jesse Williams. And he's into it too.
Yeah.
But Ashton Kutcher doesn't know that they're doing this.
And it feels weird at first because you think that as a publisher, he probably has random people handing him manuscripts all the time. Like, hey, you got to read this. This is the next big thing. You know, oh this book is going to blow your mind. And he's really trying to romantically pursue Reese Witherspoon in this moment. And she's kind of like, yeah, but did you read this book? He's like, yeah, but I'll get to it eventually. But damn, can we go out on a date?
Chappelle,
like,
was the book actually good?
It's hard to believe because he would have said yes regardless. Okay, like let me be very clear. Once he saw Reese Witherspoon liked books, he was going yes sir until he could yes sir no more.
Yeah, because her judgment's clouded too.
Right, she loves the guy, and the book is about her life. You know, his life, their life, basically.
Oh my gosh, this is so relatable.
Right. She's like, it's like he knows me, the author. It's like, for some reason, all of this just hits so close to home. But Jesse Williams is like, man, this is Reese Witherspoon. Yeah, I love the book. Please go out on a date with me. And she's like, okay, let's talk about the book. He's like, over dinner, in wine at your place, please. You know, and so I don't know if the book was actually good. You know, good is subjective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. That's debatable. We got to find out. We need a third party, a neutral party to read the book.
Mm-hmm. I don't think there is one of those. I think at this point, everybody in this movie is, corrupted by their own needs and wants. I mean, because if we can't trust Jesse Williams' character and he's the publisher, we know we can't trust Reese because she's in love with Peter. Peter's in love with her. Can't trust. Maybe Tig Notaro can read the book. Maybe. Yeah, she don't have a dog in this fight.
I want to talk about what happens with Jesse Williams and Reese Witherspoon. So they go back at the end of the night, or they are going to basically like in Ashton Kutcher's apartment. They are going to start to like advance this relationship.
I don't like this, Rob. I just feel like when you babysit somebody's house, I think in like the unwritten contract is that you don't defile their house like that. I don't know about this one. I don't like it.
Yeah. So basically, we're going to see that the book publisher and Reese Witherspoon, okay, they're going to hook up And we don't know exactly like how far they get, but they also like they don't know how to turn on like the entertainment system. But basically, they are getting into different states of undress, and they're like, ah, I don't know how you do this thing. So basically, they end up doing something that alerts Ashton Kutcher. He gets a notification on his phone, and the notification says, camera activated. Okay?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Camera is activated.
This is bad. They were just trying to turn on the blinds. Like, they were just trying to close the blinds so they could have privacy. And then they did the exact opposite of that.
They did the exact opposite. Camera activated. And so he ends up, Ashton Kutcher's like, oh, my cameras are activated. Let me check. First off, like, I don't think that's how the cameras work. I don't think you get like an alert that somebody turned your camera on.
Yeah, like, wait, is someone in my home pressing the right camera button?
It's not like, oh, you are going live on Instagram. Like, you don't get a notification like that.
No. But I don't have an inside my home camera, though. So I guess I really wouldn't know.
Yeah.
You know, so why would you have that?
Why would you have that? Maybe.
Yeah, like so where someone in your house can activate the camera and then you are now alerted that they activated the camera.
You wouldn't get alerted. Like, you can like if you have that at your house, you can like log in and then look at the camera. Right. But you wouldn't get like a notification of like somebody turned the camera on.
Yeah, gotcha. Because I thought that was very weird. It'd be different if it was like a Ring doorbell camera where somebody walked by and you get an alert.
Yeah.
But to just, you know, someone's in your house pressing the camera button, isn't that normally you? Yeah. Like, it would be you.
Okay. So, all right, now, all of a sudden, Ashton Kutcher, that he is getting the video stream of Reese Witherspoon and Jesse Williams hooking up, and his shirt's off, and they're making out, and Ashton Kutcher takes his phone and chucks it. Now, Chappelle,
mm-hmm.
Why did he do this?
Because the kid walked in. You know,
the kid walked in? Okay.
Yeah. No. I think, honestly, it was before the kid walked in. So the kid shows up because he hears the breaking of the glass and everything from the phone basically destroying this vase or whatever it hit. But he just panicked. You know, I think this is his quote unquote friend. And you wouldn't want to see your friends like that, mm-hmm. Rob. Now, would you? You don't want to watch your friends do the things that Jesse Williams mm-hmm. and Reese Witherspoon were doing.
Right. Yeah. So is he getting cucked in this moment, Chappelle?
That's why he threw it. You mm-hmm. have to, like, if you're about to get cucked, you have to violently remove yourself from that situation. Yeah.
Like, now, the alternate read on this is like, hey, that's my bed. But that also plays into it, I think.
No, I don't think it's that. I think it's really more of the like, well, yeah, I think.
What kind of house guest is this?
Yeah, no, I don't think it was that. I honestly think he was more like, oh my God, I'm seeing the person that I'm in love with having sex with somebody who's
he's in already my home. Had to hear about Zen.
Yeah, he's had to hear about Zen. He's now seen Jesse Williams. He's like, she's just out here just like falling in love with other people who are not me. I need to go do something about that. So mm-hmm. he rushes off to the bar to go do the same.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And he's unsuccessful. He's not able to get his mojo going for the bar and to bring someone back home to the home that he is staying at.
He doesn't have it anymore.
Yeah, he's not got the juice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So you know, Reese and Jesse are hitting it off. That she basically then gets a call from him after that, and he wants to talk to her about a proposal. I was wondering, like how silly is the movie getting where, like, oh, I want to talk to you about a proposal. I'm like, is she thinking that this is a marriage proposal? Is he going to pop the question? Like, I said, I was going to talk to you about a proposal. It doesn't happen.
He does kind of propose in a way because mm-hmm. he's talking about the book, of course, but then he also kind of sliding in there like, oh yeah, I have some big ideas for the book. It'd be crazy if we actually move forward. We try to get this published. Also, you know, like if you really wanted a job here in New York closer to me, that you just have to uproot your whole life and come stay here. That would be cool too. It's not like nothing formal, super formal, but if you wanted to just uproot everything and come live here with me because we just had a one-night stand, now I'm in love with you now, maybe, you know, it was kind of like that. Look, Reese, she has this effect on people. Ashton Kutcher one time is in love with her. Mm-hmm. Jesse Williams one time is in love with her. I would like to see it.
Yeah. Meanwhile, we're going to see that Ashton Kutcher is going to try to get the kid on the hockey team.
Yeah, this was a bad plan. This was a bad plan. If there's one sport that will get your accident prone, or at least you're led to believe accident prone child hurt, I'm pretty sure hockey is pretty close to the top of the list, you know, next to football. These are two things that this child is more than likely going to have an injury from, if you let this happen. But Reese really wasn't paying attention. She had taken her off the ball a little bit.
She was thinking about other stuff.
Yeah, she's so distracted. And so he was able to sign him up for, the hockey team and the tryouts. And the tryouts don't go too well. You know, he's doing fine. But then, of course, he gets hurt, because that's what happens when kids play hockey sometimes. Mm-hmm. They just get hurt. And now Ashton Kutcher has to do the very embarrassing thing of make that phone call and say, yeah, I did a thing. And your kid's in the hospital.
Yeah, the other relevant piece of information that we kind of didn't really go through is that Ashton Kutcher doesn't know that Reese Witherspoon is shopping his book all over town and having different publishers look at it. She's pretending to be the editor of it. But they also then find another envelope in his room. And they open up this envelope, and it turns out to be like a bunch of mementos about all of the moments that he's shared with Reese Witherspoon. So she kind of then has the jump on him that he doesn't find anything that to demonstrate that she has a flame for him. But she ends up finding he's a obsessive hoarder who has a collection of every moment he's ever spent with me.
Yeah, but she has these mementos too, and she's been talking about them to him for 20 years. She's always been like, hey, remember that one time we did this thing? He's like, no, don't talk to me about those things. I hate mementos, my least favorite memento. You know, and so now that she finds out that he has some, she's like, wait, maybe he cares about me just as much as I care about him. But he can't focus on that, because while he's trying to go admit that he's in love with her, she's trying to come berate him for getting her kid injured. So she's on her way. I think she gets on the plane. She's like, I just need you to leave. Leave my home. Leave my child. Get away from it. Just go back to New York where you came from. So she's going to the airport. He's going to the airport. They're on like opposite conveyor belts going the other direction, yelling at each other about how much you're untrustworthy. You don't you don't listen to me. Your child, you're obsessed with your child. You need to grow up and all this other stuff. And then right as you feel like the breakup is happening, they're finally going to go their separate ways because they're just not compatible. She finds a memento, and that memento reminds her that, hey, you asshole, you've been keeping mementos this whole time. Do you like me? It turns out they do. They like you.
Yeah. Chappelle, I thought that was a clever scene where they were at the airport having this argument, and they were on the people. They were talking on the phone like, hey, what are you doing here? Like, I'm leaving. Like, I'm coming here. And so they saw each other in the airport, but they were both on the people movers that were going in opposite directions.
Mm-hmm. And they're having an argument in different directions as well. So you have to you're walking against traffic because it's moving you in the opposite direction, but you're still yelling at this person. And like I said, it was very it got kind of personal for a second, but then eventually he just has to blurt out I'm in love with you, crazy. And she's like, well, why haven't you said anything? And I'm thinking, that's a good question. It's been 20 years. Yeah. Never thought to say anything.
He's nervous.
For 20 years, grow up. Stand up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He might like being cooked.
You think so?
You know, yeah, I think kind of.
And that's what really put him over the edge. Yeah, that he was maybe we can explore this.
Yeah, call the publisher. The talk book publisher.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. And that's basically Your Place or Mine. There's a little bit of a postscript about that they lived happily ever after, but not really, because marriage is hard, but they're fine.
Yeah, you got a little denouement here, where they're just they're holding hands because they're that couple. The book gets published, and then they're moving into together. And then she's got an editor job now because of that one time she got his book published, and her kids playing hockey, and they all live happily ish ever after because, you be happy sometimes and sometimes you don't. You're married, right? I'm sure you're always happy, but sometimes these relationships don't. They have some ups and downs, you know?
Yeah. Okay. And that's it. That's Your Place or Mine. Will there be Your Place or Mine too?
Yours, Place, Mine, and Ours. The sequel. Yes. Or you, Me, and Dupree. I think that's what they could call it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I could see a sequel. I don't know what it would be about, but I could see a sequel.
Yeah.
Maybe Return of Jesse Williams. Maybe Reese Witherspoon's ex-husband comes back and he's got a vendetta. I don't know. I don't see it. I think this is it. I think this is the end of the love story.
I think this is the end of the story. It's This is a weird movie that it's you will be hard pressed, I think, to find a movie. Like, I guess maybe is that like Sleepless in Seattle? Maybe some of our like rom-com experts like but the two of them are on screen together so little in this movie.
Yeah, it's almost like they don't even like each other. It's very weird. But yeah, I thought that was odd. I think the entire movie is odd, but it was fun to talk about it. You know, would I recommend the movie? Probably not, because it just wasn't a lot of either category. Yeah. It wasn't a lot of rom. It wasn't a lot of com. It was just a thing that happened on Netflix and we talked about it.
Yeah. All right. Look, I still had a good time.
Yeah, it was a good time. It was fun.
I hope the listeners did too.
Yeah. Anytime you can talk about Reese Witherspoon, you have my attention.
Okay. How about next week, Chappelle?
Ooh.
Is there anything that has caught your eye?
Let's see. I saw the coming attractions on Netflix. I saw something called We Have a Ghost.
That's spooky.
Yeah, but that's February 24th. So it's actually might be past our recording date. So we might have to put a pin in that one. Let's see. Formula One is back. And you know, we talked about that already, but I might check it out since I'm all caught up on what was happening last time. Let's see. More Married at First Sight, which I'm sure RHAP is already covering with Jason and Asia. Nothing really just jumps out at me. It's like, I gotta talk about this. What about you?
Yeah, I'm taking a look at what is dropping this week on Netflix. I don't see anything that looks super exciting. Of course, the Perfect Match is coming to Netflix, and we'll have coverage of that here on RHAP. Squid Game The Challenge I guess that's still a little bit of a ways away, but I guess we gotta look at the charts.
We can look at the charts, and we do have that one caveat that we can just go explore something else on a different platform. This is nothing but Netflix, but not really. And so maybe there's something on Hulu that the people want to hear us talk about. Tubi is still out there. Amazon Prime, Apple TV. What else we got?
You name it.
Yeah, look, all the streaming services are out there for our.
Otherwise, we have to cover Pamela,
or we have to talk about Pamela.
Or
you know?
I can do battle by myself.
If we do, I can do battle by myself. We have to call AJ. Yeah. You know, because AJ is our Madea correspondent now. Yeah, we don't have to do any of those things. Let's just leave it to our listeners. Give us some suggestions from any platform. Whatever you see that's new, that's trending, that people are talking about on these streaming platforms, let us know. And we will talk about it here on Nothing But Netflix. Just tweet us at Nothing But RHAP to let us know what y'all want to hear us talk about next week.
Okay, Chappelle, what's coming up for you?
I think I'm very busy coming up. Like, I think I got a lot going on and I didn't realize it. So me and Gia are still talking about Abbott Elementary on post-show recaps. I think next week I will also be starting a new venture with Mari and LaTanya on post-show recaps. Stay tuned for more information on that. Still trying to lock some things in. And then Puya and I should be getting ready to do our preview podcast for the upcoming season of Bel-Air. If we're to do one, I think it's coming in the next week or so, because that'll be February 22nd. So Puya and I will be on post-show recaps talking about that. I'll be guesting on Silent Podcast either this week or next week to talk about Big Brother 6. They're doing a full rewatch of Big Brother on Silent Podcast. And so I will be on the panel to talk about BB6. So check that out too. But I think that's it. No. And then there's going to be a hiatus for 90 Day Fiancé. But when it comes back, I will be talking about that episode of 90 Day Fiancé with Puya on the 90 Day Fiancé wrap up. But okay. That's about it.
All right. Well, Chappelle, this was very fun to go through your place or mine. Let's see how high it goes on. What's the ceiling for you? What's five? Five. I think it hits top three.
Okay. We shall see.
Okay. Thank you all so much for joining us for Nothing But Netflix. Please let us know what you have in mind for next week when we get back together for another Nothing But Netflix. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
Chumba.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void. We're prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.